Prophet Isaiah, chapter 55, and verse 6. Seek ye the Lord, while he may be found. Call ye upon him, while he is near. It may surprise you to know that whilst I've read this verse, and what I'm going to speak about is God seeking you. And so that whilst I've read this passage, I'll come back to it at the end. And it may be you'll bear it in mind in what I'm saying. But I want to speak, dear friend, of God's attitude of seeking you. And I want to rid it of all mere religiousness. We're terribly religious. We sing hymns and we say all kinds of things and we don't mean half what we sing. It's one of the difficulties of a preacher giving out a hymn that only those in faith can sing and asking people who don't know the Lord to sing it. But it may be that if I cast the net wide enough through the Lord's grace, that it'll include everyone present. So that I want to call your attention to other scriptures. I may not read them. You may remember that the Lord said in remarkable circumstances that the Son of Man hath come to seek and to save that which was lost. Would you recall when he said that? Well, perhaps you don't, so I'll tell you. It was after he reached a man called Zacchaeus. Now, Zacchaeus put up a better show than most of us. I'll just give you a little sketch of his history. He was a tax gatherer, but he wanted to see Jesus, who he was. Well, that's a good thing. It's like you come into this gospel tonight. It's a good thing you've done it. I won't make much of his little of stature, but he got over that by climbing up into a sycamore tree because he knew the Lord would pass that way. Now, you've come into this meeting room tonight, dear friend. You know very well I'm going to speak of Jesus. You don't expect me to speak of anybody else. You know, there's no other name given under heaven amongst men where we must be saved. You knew what you were in for way before you came. So that when Zacchaeus got into the sycamore tree, he expected to see Jesus. And he did see him. And when the Lord saw him, he said, Zacchaeus, come down. For today I must abide in thy house. Yeah. You fancy, dear friend, perhaps that the result of a meeting like this, the Lord comes and takes up a dwelling place in your abode, in your affairs, comes in as a permanent, may I say, guest, if I can use such an expression. Well, now, he came down and received him joyfully. You might say, well, this man, he's doing well. He must be a Christian. Well, let's look at it. When the Lord comes there, of course, there were those who complained that the Lord went in to eat with a man who's publican and sinner. But, you know, the general run of people, they haven't got much sense when it comes to the gospel. They like to sing gospel hymns and have conventions and whatnot, but when it really comes to what you might call brass tacks, there's very little foundation with much of it. Thank God that there is some. And I'm not decrying any gospel effort. Preach the word, and that gives license. But you know, amid all the excitement that there often is, there's a great deal of criticism. Devil's behind it. Well, now the Lord is there, and Zacchaeus stands before him. What does he say? He doesn't say like another Pharisee, I thank thee that I'm not as other men, but he makes a little speech that would put most of us to shame. Says, the half of my goods I give to the poor. To be sure, have you done that? Have you? If there's any man going to merit heaven, there's the man. Yes. The half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I've defrauded anything, I repay him fourfold. You might say, if ever a man was an honest man, a good to honest Christian, there's the man. If any man's going into heaven on the ground of merit, well, there's the man. Yes. But what does the Lord say? Today has salvation come to this house. Wasn't there before. No, salvation wasn't in the man's merit. It was in the presence of Christ. And it's then that the Lord Jesus says this remarkable thing. For also the Son of Man hath come to seek and to save that which was lost. What, you say? Zacchaeus lost? Precisely. And a lot of people don't know it. They think these honest-to-goodness people that never defraud anybody, never tell a lie. Have you ever met a person that never told a lie? No. There you are. We're not all George Washingtons. No. Well, the fact of the matter is, there's not a man that sinneth not. We all carry a permanent disqualification in our souls. Moreover, we belong to a fallen race. In other words, we're lost. Adam was as much lost to God when he sinned as when he was turned out of Eden. Thank God. God operated on his behalf. But I'm not going into that. I'm thinking, dear friend, of the Lord seeking out this man. He would, so to speak, hide behind his good works. You're doing that, dear friend. You're to church regularly? You're christened? You've been confirmed? Yes. Maybe in the choir. You think, dear friend, that that's going to merit anything? Why not come simply as a lost person that needs seeking and saving? Dear friend, you won't get the blessing until you take the place of it. I hope I'm not offending anybody, because I don't want to be offensive. The hardest person to meet is a person that hasn't got a stain on their character. True. Far, far better to acknowledge in simplicity that as child of Adam, I come from fallen stock and I do what I do because I am what I am. You know, I may have told you the story before, but down in Gloucester, there was an old doctor. I never knew the old man, but I knew his son very well. And an aristocrat went down there. The doctor was a bit of an aristocrat himself. He was talking about his ancestry, and I don't know how far it went back. Hundreds of years. The doctor said, oh, I'm afraid I haven't got an ancestry like that, you know. One of my forebears was a gardener. And he got the sack for theft. Oh, said this man, is that so? Yes, he said. And when he was caught, he said he blamed it on somebody else. Really? And then it dawned upon this man that the doctor was speaking about Adam. Yeah. Come from wrong stock. You may have had a gentlemanly father, and you may have had a very ladylike mother. You may have been brought up in the best traditions of Christianity, but my dear friend, unless you have Christ in your heart, you're lost. Sometimes it takes a good deal of seeking. Anybody here, God is, might so to speak, after. If it is, he'll have you yet. Now let me tell you, the longer you hold out, the worse it'll be for you. No, when the Lord gets on the trail, nothing put him off. People, don't you get him? Don't you imagine that you can just make up your mind about the time and place? No, no. You might even get converted at a preaching like this. Yes. And he's seeking you in grace, pounding you down to pin something on you, to bring you to hell. And he's not doing that. He's seeking you in grace. Seeking you, my dear friend, in the grace of God by which he tasted death for you. In Luke, I may refer to another section of it. You remember the story about the sheep that went astray? He went after it, said the shepherd. He went after it until he found it. Far, far from God. I sometimes think after we're converted, we find out how far we were away. I notice a fellow Christian in the scriptures that when the Jews get back into their own land and are conscious of God's blessing them in abundance, it is then they look back on their history and loathe their doings, loathe them. And a pretty fair record. You're going to produce it? Yeah. Oh, far better acknowledge your sinnership. Let the Lord have his way with you. Well, he went after the sheep until he found it. Involved such a journey. Oh, what a journey. Some of us have been speaking today of how the Father Lord has come to be alongside us. From God's highest glory down to Calvary's depth of woe. I've heard the story before, dear friend. I've preached it before. But I can do the cross without being moved inwardly, because it's the most marvelous story that's ever been told. There's nothing like it. It can be repeated and it never goes old. The cross there is between two malefactors. For my son, you've never said it? Involved in his seeking? You think of it. To seek and to save that which was lost. There was the weight of sin that would forever shut them out from the presence of the holiness of God. Working and sins accumulating as the days go by. Alienated by wicked works, alienated in mind by wicked works. Don't you think, dear friend, the persons have only got to hear the gospel and they become favorably disposed towards God? It isn't so. No. Unless the seeks and saves, they remain as they were. And the journey took him to the cross, the very lowest point of human experience. Oh, I must tell you about it, because it was there he died for me. Not for you, because he tasted death for all. You'll need to put in, and I'm coming back to the end. I want you to bear the verse I read to you at the end. I'll bring it in then. But I want to speak of thine side. They were the writer of the hymn. None of the ransomed ever knew how deep the water was, or how dark the night that the Lord passed through ere he found the sheep that was lost. But he did find it. Oh, the persistency of the grace of God. Yes. Yes. The love that lay behind it, continuing in its purpose. Yes. What treated us like? We treated him while as well as a beacon signed to oblivion. But he's gone on speaking to you, my dear friend. Maybe he's got hold of you partly, but I want to come a little further. Out of a lost condition, suitable for the holy presence of God. One man on the cross was made fit for the presence of Christ through faith in his precious name. You remember there were sixes there? Jesus is right, he should be there. If he was in the shame of Calvary, he's going to be in the central place of the glory of heaven. Yes. And there were two men alongside. And at one time, cast insults in his teeth, but was reached by the God. I was speaking of him last, I don't mind speaking of him again. I feel as he preached a most remarkable sermon, and he rendered a most remarkable testimony to Christ when nobody else was able to do it. Where were the apostles? Not the. Where were the women beholding afar off? Not a voice in the universe raised on behalf of Christ except this one man. He speaks to his fellow thief, "Dost thou not fear God?" And I say to you, young, hasn't a twinge of come over your soul sometime or another? You've got good prospects. Maybe you've got money. That can be a terrible snare, you know, sometimes. Nothing wrong with it. No, no, not at all. But it can be, especially the love of it. And I find it the most difficult thing to speak to a prosperous man. A good business. Going well. Figure opening a branch here, doing that. Yes. You must meet my wife sometimes, yes. Of course, my daughter's only just gone out of the office. I wish you'd met her. Proud of his family. Boy just graduated. Got his handicap down. Golf. Yes, oh yes. Everything in the garden lovely. That Christ. And he might lose the lot. Yes. Ache for something. I did indeed. Well, now this man will not fear God, seeing thou art in the same nation, and we indeed justly. Now that's not a polite, that's an admission of guilt. And I ask you, my dear friend, just sincerely, please forgive me. Have you ever in the secret of your soul pleaded guilty at the bar of divine justice? Have you? And I insist you must do it. You must do it. I've been here several times, and I've told the story. But it'll repeat. Bear repeating. I was coming back from the West Country and I got in. I was in a train when three men got in. And they started. I was coming back. I'd had a very heavy day. And I think they thought I was. But I soon found out they were legal gentlemen. One was a solicitor, a barrister, and the other, a younger man, the solicitor's clerk. Did you see what the old man, when he was sentenced? So the other two, you know, offhandedly said, no, didn't notice. Didn't. And he said, the tears rolled down his face. I said, well, of course, I'm not very surprised that the judge sentenced him to a long term. After he was complete, read his record, I thought they were never going to stop. No wonder he's had a long term. And the other one said somewhat sympathetically, well, he's an old man, he'll be in prison all his life. He's no fish, Bob. After he was convicted and the police read his record, I remember when I was convicted. Convicted of what? Being a sinner. I had no crime. But I was a sinner. Mine said to me, if it wasn't for Christ, I'd have gone to hell. And I knew that's where I was on the way to. I needed a savior. I was convicted of sin. I remember pleading guilty charge and found that God had sin had paid the penalty for me. And I've gone free. Do you know him, dear friend? You know, I'm speaking to someone here who's heard these things from their childhood. He had never surrendered the grace of God displayed in Christ when he took the sinner's on Calvary. Oh, the marvel of it. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before a shearer is dumb, so opened he not his mouth. He was a sacrifice. He put out his soul unto death. Yes. And he glory place of sin. He went thus far to seek and to save that which was lost. Don't mind hearing it now. I don't mind preaching, but there's someone here to whom it means very little now. And they're in a serious case. After grace unto God. I knew it, felt not my load. Yes. Though my soul, Jehovah said, Kenya, I forget now, nothing to me. I've sat under the sound of the gospel. I've been young. I remember it well. Talk about the preach and what they said, and but not until the Spirit of God I was convicted of sin did I find my need of. Yes. I found that I come to seek and to save that which was lost, and in the very extremity of my need I made him a suitable case for his attention. Yes. He says, I'm righteous, but sinners to repentance. Oh, dear friend, acknowledge sin and get the blessing. Because I'm going to speak of another seeking. He's not seeking those that are lost, but in the parable of the 13th of Luke, there's a woman seeking a piece of silver. That is, the God seeking a Christian. That, then I have spoken to it. Part of a parable is not the whole of it, and I'm just going to take it out of its setting, because you know, dear friend, said, for this second parable, you may remember that the Pharisee Lord, yes, then drew near the publicans and sinners for him, and the receiveth sinners and eateth with them. You can hear the scorn in it. And the Lord gave a parable. He said, why not? They're the type of people he come to seek. He gave a parable of a shepherd going after the sheep. But then he gave another section of the parable, a woman who'd lost a piece of silver. It was in the house. In other words, they were a professing Christian. They weren't, you might say, out in the world. No, no, they were in the redemption, may I tell you, because that's what silver means. You people say, well, why that means it? Well, I tell you, my young friends, the half shekel was the redemption money that everyone had to pay. The couldn't pay more, and the poorer couldn't pay less. And the whole structure that were on sockets of silver. It means that God in the redemption which is in Christ Jesus has got a basis of operation worldwide. Now, they'll be silver. But they're not in the place love intended them to be. Whether it was a coin, some say, well, it wasn't in circulation. Or whether it was... Iron up and worn it, I don't know. But those things don't bother me. The whole thing was it where God intended it to be. And I ask you, are you? You perhaps find Jesus as your Redeemer? You can say with Job, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Well, I'm thankful if you can. But in regard of the waiting time, because the house... there's the music and the dancing at the end of that chapter, and where the one that was lost and was found and brought back. This piece of silver was in that sphere, but it wasn't in the place that God intended it. And I ask you quite simply, are you? Is the Lord saying, dear friend, I'm not asking you too much, am I? Are you just going your own way? It may have been swept under the... It might have got by the chiffonier and, you know. And all lots of things happen in history. I'm not attempting to delve into your matters, but I'm simply asking you a question. In this preaching to seeking you, saying, you know you're not where I want you to be. I want you to be in circulation amongst God's people. I'm not putting forward anything sectarian. No, I'm not thinking of that. I'm thinking of a person in moving in the blessed sense that he's not his own, he's bought with a price. That's what redemption means. And you know, dear friend, it's belong to someone who loves you. It is. It things. But it is. It's tremendous in spiritual things. Yes. The Lord says, in thee I have called by thee by thy name. Thou art mine. You think of it. And he takes on nothing outside his care. But then to see the being sought and brought into the position where he would bring the redeemed. Metaphor. You remember there was a highway in Isaiah, and the redeemed shall walk there. And they're not a discord. No, they're not. They're coming with joy and gladness in their heads, not only in their hearts. But it's apparent that they've got something this world can neither give nor take away. Now, am I speaking that is the Lord is seeking? You know, I'm not trying to tell you. Now, some of you know me, of course. Don't think I'm getting too near the bone. You can answer. You've got to answer me. I'm a mere nothing, a mere cipher. But if the Lord is saying something, you know, you'll have to answer. I often think of what then shall we say to these things? You can't come into a gospel like and go out again. You might say, well, I won't go there again. Well, of course, I wouldn't worry if you said that, my point of view. But, you know, if the Lord is seeking you, dear friend, he'll give you an impression that he's got better things in store for you than you've got already. Yes. Yes, when this and found this piece of silver, she called her friends together, rejoice with me. Yes. Oh, what rejoicing would be. To see some returning ones coming, acknowledging that they've been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, to fill a happy, simple in the house. God is known and where he is. Well, is that all? No. Go further. Hope you don't mind. I'm now to in the 4th of John. And I feel a bit ashamed about that, because it really requires a word on its own. But you know, it was that. If ever there was a question of skill in seeking and it was in that, and it was in of worship to the Father. And now I speak in Christians. It's right that it's a pity that it's become a bone of controversy amongst people of God. But I'm not going into that, I'm just speaking simply without any qualifications. Here's this woman. She was a religious woman. Say, oh, she had a history, hadn't you? Can anyone point them? I've seen and got the seed of in my own heart. Was it not John Bunyan going out to be led to execution? There, but for the grace of God, go I. I don't suppose he knew the posterity and will be quoted hundreds of years afterwards. He said it from his soul. I knew his writings very well. He said, I have so much to do in judging myself that I haven't got a lot of time to judge other people. So don't talk about this woman's history. If the thing in the balance and everything taken into condition, how about you? And how about me? But don't forget, she was a person. Oh, yes. She could speak up. Well, that was good. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well, and drank of it himself and his cattle? Oh, she was well versed. Yes. She could keep her end up very well. Yes. Our father, but ye say that just the place where we should worship. You see, she's fencing with the Lord. Yes. She's keeping him at bay. Does the Lord even put it into his lips? He didn't say, well, this is a poor case of evil to it. No, no. No, he went on and on. He probed her. Yes, he probed her. Ever been probed? Find out one of these fine days. Yes. I have sometimes felt like a patient must be when the surgeon's probe goes further than they thought it would. Yes. The disc of the evil. We can only face it in the light of the heart of God disclosed in the gift of Christ. There, a religionist with a cover-up for a history. Oh, how easy it is to cover up. He that with his sin prosper. She covered up very easily. She told him the truth, and it turned out to be a lie. I have no husband. Well, that was quite true. The Lord says, thou hast had, whom thou now hast, is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly. Yes. You see, she's covering up with a half-truth that the Lord is getting at her. He's speaking of her. He's seeking her. He's not only seeking her to relieve her of her dissatisfaction and to relieve her of her coming to the wind, to relieve her of her water pot. He is seeking that she might become a worshipper of the Father. A worshipper in spirit and truth, with no need to cover up, to stand in the full blaze of divine glory and know through the work of Christ I am fit for it. Are you in that position, dear friend? Not a cloud above, not a stone. Impossible. It's impossible apart from the grace of Christ. But that's the position of a Christian. And how can I worship unless I'm not clearing myself? The devil come and say, well, you know, you haven't altered. Say, well, perhaps not. But the Lord has blessed me. He looks upon me as graced in all the worth of another. I'm a justified person. I have before the bar of divine justice, and I have pleaded guilty. And I am acquitted, and not only sent out of the court without a stain on my character. And not only so, I'm taken home to be with the one against whom I sinned, to be in his family. Well, that's what God does. He forgives, he justifies, he reconciles. And he does it through the cross of Christ. And turns people into worshippers. Worshippers. Yes. What a word it is. I've been in the East, I don't know where those have been. Oh, it's a lamentable, dismal kind of business. Oh, it really is. All the paraphernalia. I've seen into a mosque. People with their faces on the ground, there for hours. How they haven't got the time to do it, I don't know. It's such a thing I can tell you just from a story that happened to me. It's too long a story to it all. But I once found myself with a very well-to-do merchant and his wife and their buyer, and going out of Shepherd's Hotel in Cairo to the pyramid. trip, I'll have to explain to who wants to know, because it was really a most complicated business. It was the biggest surprise of my life. But I went, willy-nilly. And went to two places before we got to the pits. We went through the City of the Dead. A very large, all the houses there, but no windows. A house filled with coffins. Coffins have got corpses. Called the City of the Dead, and not a sound. That gave me a creeps, yes. And then we got to the other mosque. Dragoman with his little red polite man. My, he had a tongue. I can hear him talking now. He bowed and, ladies and gentlemen, you can come any further. Do you see, this is sound. And this a stream of water, he says. I said, pardon me, I'm not. Oh, he said, why not? Well, I'm a Christian. I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and this is not holy ground to me. Oh, he said, that's quite all right, sir. You're our God, and we worship yours. Oh, no, I said, pardon. You say Allah is God and Muhammad is his prophet, but that's not the God I worship. The God I worship is the God and Father of our Lord Christ, and I'm not coming into this place if I've got to take my shoes off. And I said, moreover, you say that's holy water. It doesn't wash away sins. There's only one thing to do, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ, cleansed from all sin. And of course, I'd forgotten my companions talking to these women. And the little French woman standing me a little up to him, she said, amen, so I believe that, so I believe that. Yeah. There she was, a Christian, a believer in Jesus. She knew that the only thing to wash away her sin, yes. And she wouldn't take her shoes off. Well, good for her. Her husband and the other man did. We went in. Yes. Whether it was sacrilege or not, I don't. Glad to go see to see it. But, oh, it made me feel. God is not worshipped in temples made with hands. No, no. Worshipped in hearts that have been won by the Christ that died for them. Anybody here now? Are you a worshipper of God? Not in the formal worship of a church service. If you do that, thank God you do, but in the spirit and in truth. Has ever your heart gone out to God in his sense that he gave Christ for the sin of your soul? And you felt something you owe more. That's worship. It may be, perhaps, and you felt you have been rebuked. And you feel perhaps when you've been a bigger sinner than you've ever. And it comes into your soul that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. And it comes into your heart and you think the plan was all God and the worship belongs to him. I say, dear friend, is the Lord seeking? Do you drop down to a kind of formal Christianity? You've got your routine? Yeah. Well, in spirit and in truth, lift us up. And I say to you, I'm going to finish now, I do not doubt that in these three ways, the blessed God is seeking someone here tonight. The Lord seeking someone that has never yielded to his grace. The Spirit seeking someone that is not in their right. The Lord seeking that you might be of God in spirit and in truth. Then what about you? Now I come to my verse. Let's turn to Isaiah 55. Seek ye the Lord, while he may be found. You know, I don't doubt he's near to us now. These instances may be very, you know, my friend. They may never occur again in quite this way. Seek ye the Lord, while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. He's seeking you, dear friend. Would it not induce your face being turned towards him? Yes. Deception, you. God says, I have not spoken in secret, in a dark of the earth. I said unto Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. Yes. He's a just God and a Savior. He's seeking you and he's asking you to seek him. When once those synchronized, dear friends, something happens. And something more happens. Let the wicked for have to drop. And the unrighteous man is, let him return to the Lord. See upon him. Our God, for he will pardon, not good enough. He will abundantly pardon. Oh, if I could convey, dear friend, the overwhelming character of God's grace. He doesn't parcel it out in little bits. He doesn't ration it so that you just have enough to go round. He pours it into your soul and makes you feel what a God you know in Jesus. And then, for my thoughts are not your ways, my ways. As high as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Well, I commend the blessed God. He can be known to you in Jesus. He can be known to you as your Father. You can be taken into the divine family. You're sure of a place with Christ for eternity. And the Lord's care all the time rests towards any of us here. Well, I may not have done justice to what the Lord's given me to say, but I forgive me for that. I know the Lord will. Tolerant towards his servants. But I say to you, dear friend, I'm speaking to someone here, I'm quite, that if the Lord has spoken to you, don't turn a deaf, I plead with you. And don't pull away the shoulder. Don't say, what's he want to say a thing like that for? No, don't say that. Yes. Forgive anything that's been out of place, but hear the Lord's voice. That still small voice that wants to win your soul, to free you from your sin, to bring you amongst the people of God and turn you into a worshipper. Well, may it be so for his name's sake.